Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, A Litany of the Faithful. We'll also have music from the Sanctuary Choir Ensemble. So join us now from Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
And shall hear the trumpet sound in that morning, and from the flowing fountain drink everlasting love, and shall hear the trumpet sound in that morning. Oh, shout with glory, I shall mount above the skies, when I hear the trumpet sound in that morning. Oh, shout with glory, I shall mount above the skies, when I hear the trumpet sound, sound the trumpet, the trumpet, the trumpet, the trumpet.
But now I am a soldier, my cap has gone before, and I hear the trumpet sound in that
trumpet, the trumpet, the
trumpet. He's given me my joys, and he takes me near before, till I hear the trumpet sound in that
trumpet. Oh, shout with glory, I shall mount above the skies, when I hear the trumpet sound in that morning. Oh, shout with glory, I shall mount above the skies, when I hear the trumpet sound in that morning, that morning, that morning, in that morn. When shall I be delivered from this vain world of sin, and shall hear the trumpet sound in that morn, in that morn? And with the blessed Jesus drink endless pleasures in, and shall hear the trumpet sound in that morn, in that morn. Oh, shout with glory, I shall mount above the skies, when I hear the trumpet sound in that morning. Oh, shout with glory, I shall mount above the skies, when I hear the trumpet sound.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible.
By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. Through this, he received approval as righteous. God himself giving approval to his gifts. He died, but through his faith he still speaks.
By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For it was attested before he was taken away that he had pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him.
By faith, Noah, warned by God about events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save the household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is in accordance with faith.
By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren. because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore.
All of these died in faith without having received the promises. But from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them.
By faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was ready to offer up his only son, of whom he had been told, "It is through Isaac that descendants shall be named for you." He considered the fact that God is able even to raise someone from the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive
him back. By faith, Isaac invoked blessings for the future on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave instructions about his burial.
By faith, Moses was hidden by his parents for 3 months after his birth, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered abuse suffered for the Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, unafraid of the king's anger, for he persevered as though he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more
should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight.
Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised. Since God had provided something better so that they would not, apart from us,
be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God.
I've always loved the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the so-called faith
chapter, and I wanted us to hear it in its entirety this morning, but I thought it might be too much to ask of you if I read it all with my own voice. And so our thanks to you who were readers, and certainly to Dave Streit for putting that collage together. Let's pray together. Lord, we give you thanks for the privilege of worship, and now as we sit beneath the teaching of your word, we would pray that your word might shape and inform and inspire my words, and that my words might be useful to help to shape and inform and inspire us, your people, to follow after you. For these and all things we pray through Christ our Lord, to his honor and glory. Amen. When I was in elementary school, my mother took an interest in our family's genealogy. Now, this was pre-ancestors.com. I have vivid memories of coming home from school and finding my mother bent over a card table in our family room filled with books and pages as she was carefully piecing together our family tree. She wrote, and then would wait weeks to receive letters from immigration offices and courthouses up and down the East Coast and throughout Europe in search of names and dates of births and baptisms and deaths and marriages, all of which then she meticulously recorded in these large genealogy books that were laid out in our family room, all in her own hand. So eventually, she took much of that material and put it onto a wall in our family room, which she filled with framed pictures, immigration papers, discharge military orders. And I remember as a child standing and staring at that wall, at all the different pictures, realizing that these were my family. Some were seated. Some were standing, some couples, some families, some smiling, most not in those generations. And one day I found myself staring in particular at a small daguerreotype photograph of a couple, one of my great-greats. He standing, hand on her shoulder, she seated, holding a small velvet-bound Bible. And as I stared at that Bible, I realized it was the same Bible my mother had on a coffee table in our living room. And something in me clicked. In that moment, I realized that that wall of pictures, that wall of documents, that Bible told the story of me, that I belonged to them and they to me. In his book, Families, Wyatt Cooper writes of a time when he was a boy. They were at a family reunion and decided to go to visit the family graveyard. He writes, "A child could stand as I stood with bare feet digging into the sand of their graves and know that their toil and their despair, their trials and their triumphs were forever a part of him, just as their dust and their bones were forever a part of the land. I could see that the world did not begin with me. I could see that I was part of all that went before, and they, those vanished thousands, are forever a part of what I am and of what I shall be. It is important for a child to know that. The world does not begin nor end with him. And in between his being born and his dying, he has a link to forge. He has a challenge, a chance, and a responsibility." This is why I love Hebrews chapter 11 so much. In it, the author recites a litany of the faithful, much like those photographs on our family room wall, or the names and the dates carved into limestone as grave markers. These tell us our story, the story of our past, the story of our present, the story of our future. Hebrews 11 was written as a word of encouragement, following the challenge, the admonition that he had given at the end of chapter 10. There we read Do not abandon that confidence of yours, that faith of yours, for it brings a great reward. For you need endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. But we are not among those who shrink back and so are lost, but are among those who have faith and so are saved. And then in order to encourage those struggling believers to hold fast to their faith, to hold fast to the promises of God, it is as if he started thumbing through his Bible and started telling stories, family stories, stories of heroes and heroines, of saints and sinners, of prophets and those who were persecuted for the faith. He starts telling stories about Cain and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, of Moses and Rahab. And without going into great detail on any of them, he reminds his readers then and now that these, the familiar and the unfamiliar, the countless, nameless others, persevered in their faith. They walked with God, though they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, trusting in his promises, though they could see them but would never receive them, still they journeyed on in confident hope. And so must we. As we listen to him tell these stories of our faith, we can begin to feel the cadence of his sermon picking up, almost as though he glances at his watch or at his hourglass. He realizes his time is starting to run short, that his listeners are starting to get weary, but there's still more he wants to say before he gets to his concluding point. And so he says, "And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground." And then he seems to pause, a long pause, before he says, "And yet all of these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better," something better, "so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect." These aren't stories just taken from the dusty annals of history. These aren't even their stories alone. These are our stories. These are the stories of our faith which have informed us and formed us. And in our hearing and in our telling of them, we are now linked with those who have gone before us. We belong to them, and they belong to us. Imagine for a moment the story of our faith, not written as a narrative, but as a chain, anchored on one end in the promises of God, anchored on the other end in the fulfillment of those promises in Jesus Christ. And you and I are part of that chain, along with Abraham and Sarah and Moses and Rahab, on this Reformation Sunday, along with Luther and Calvin and Knox and Zwingli. We add our stories to their stories as we tell of those who have influenced us in the faith, of authors and preachers, of pastors and Sunday school teachers, of parents, who have shared the wonderful promises of a faithful God and encouraged us, both in their words and in their actions, to respond to Jesus' invitation to come and follow me, and then to hold fast to those promises, despite the struggles and the trials and the temptations we may encounter along the way, because this journey of faith is a great adventure, and the reward is eternal. And on this All Saints Day, we add to this long list the names of those who have gone before us here at TAB, those with whom we have worshiped and served: McWhirter, Peksak, Kreider, Croner, Jessup, Beard, York, Stokes. They too are part of our story, and we of theirs. So standing in a family graveyard, staring at pictures on a wall, sitting in a sacred space such as this, we know that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. In a powerful way, the writer of Hebrews changes the metaphor at this point, now to a runner, to a marathoner. The writer sees that the runner now enters into the arena at the end of the race, spent, exhausted, who is welcomed then and bolstered by those in the stands who stand and cheer him on. They too had run the race before, and they know that soon he will pass the baton on to the next runner. So carry on, they shout. Just as the race did not begin with you, so it will not end with you. So run with faithfulness, run with perseverance the race that is set before you, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Carry on, for we must not let him down. We must not let them down, those who have gone before us. We must not let them down, those who will follow after us. For together we are linked in this great chain of faith, all running the same race together. Friends, just as Wyatt Cooper wrote, we are all part of all that went before us, and they, those vanished thousands, are forever a part of who we are and of what we shall be. So it's important that we be reminded that our faith did not begin with us, nor will it end with us. And in between our being born and our dying, we each have a link to forge. We each have been given a challenge, a chance, and a responsibility. The challenge to respond to the invitation of faith. The chance to follow in the way of Jesus. The responsibility to run our race faithfully to the end and pass the baton to those who will come after us. And all along the way, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, all who have gone before us, cheering us on. Our stories are a continuation of their stories, as together we are part of his story. We belong to them, and they belong to us as we forge our link to theirs, past, present, future, and as our names are added to the great litany of the faithful. Amen. And let us pray. O Lord, we give you thanks for all the saints who have gone before us, for those who have lived their lives in faith and given their lives for faith in such a way that your name might be honored. May we be the same. May our names be added in such a way that when we will be remembered, we will be remembered as those who have been faithful to the call of Christ. Lord, hear our prayer.
You've
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. If you would like to listen to today's message again, there are many ways to do so. Subscribe to the Tab podcast on iTunes and other apps, or go to tabpres.org and tap on the graphic marked Sermons. If you prefer a CD copy, call us at 317-923-5458. That's 317-923-5458. Please mention today's date. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel, and at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.
I ask that they might all be one.
Pastor John Gable of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis.
This was the great prayer for unity that Jesus prayed for his disciples. Unity is at the heart of his desire for us today. But how can this be when God's people are so different, distinct, and separated from one another? This is the miracle of God's work in the church. It is our common faith in Jesus that brings us together now and always. Rather than focusing on those things that divide the body of Christ, it is our desire at TAB to focus on the one who unites us. We invite you to experience this unity in Christ for yourself by visiting us in person or at tabpres.org.
Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis, invites you to worship Sunday morning at 8 or 10 a.m. If you can't make it in person, tune in to Sunday with Tab, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on WIBC, or find us online at tabpres.org.